room at a baby boy that we had. And I was like, what? You had a baby, you had a dream? Are you sure you really had that dream? I was questioning because I wasn't really sure that it was actually like, that was actually real.
Yes, the next day it was, were you lying? Were you telling the truth? Because I was thinking that at work and I'm going, yes, dear, I wouldn't just tell you that. That was the dream I had.
So anyways, we go on our business and doing whatever. I can't remember exactly when it was. Probably, No. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think, that Carrie preached it. But anyways, so we've been trying to have a baby for the last couple years, and it's been the time of our life, seeing all of our friends get pregnant and just the desire be in our hearts so much. And we are in a group with Elisa and Gary, and they prayed for us, and we prayed for them. And when was it? It was a couple weeks ago. It was a couple weeks ago at Rebecca's birthday party, Vero and Jay's daughter. And I just had this funny feeling. I'm like, something's not right. Like, I might as well take a test or something. And every other time I've taken a test, it's just come back negative, and I just gone on with my life and whatever. And this time, all of a sudden, the positive things started showing. And I'm like, I was in shock. I was like, what does a positive sign mean? What does it mean? Get the instructions out. I was just in such shock that I didn't even, like, it didn't even fizz on me that the positive was actually you're pregnant. And so I was just in such shock, like we were jumping up and down and hugging and crying and everything. And I was like, okay, this has got to, like, you know, man-made things can make mistakes. Let's just make sure. Let's take another one. So 2 hours later, I took another one. It came up positive again, and I was just, like, overjoyed. And, you know, it was, like, it's been, so many people have been praying for us, and oh, it's just been so amazing. And so I just want to thank you guys all that you've been praying for us, because we're expecting, and we're going to have a little baby girl or baby boy around December 11th. So,
I think the other interesting thing, though, to share is that throughout all of this, like, it's almost been like clockwork, where a lot of people, I won't say they've come out of the woodwork, but it's been very obvious that, like, what we didn't know, other people seem to know. Like, Elisa was like, you know what, I woke up one night and God was telling me we were supposed to pray for Mike and Gwen, and we were like, we weren't thinking anything of it. On the day of the birthday party, Carrie kind of looked at Gwen and said something. Steve and Sandra knew, apparently, that day. She was going to say something, and then she told me a couple days later, she said, you know, I didn't want to freak Gwen out because I was going to say, you know what, no, you're pregnant right now. I already know it. And, you know, little did she know, she already was. And there was about two or three other couples that we were close with all at the same time, that, and even that just we weren't so close. They're like, God really told us to pray for you. And actually, I got a call in my office on Friday from somebody who works with me, and she says, you know, I was at the gym yesterday, and I was riding the elliptical, and I started laughing because God gave me a word of knowledge. And I'm like, oh, what's that? She's like, I'm not allowed to talk about it. You know what we say about prophetic stuff? And I'm like, okay. And I'm just playing dumb, right? And she's like, is Gwen okay? I'm like, yeah, of course, she's fine, you know, because she's fine, right? It's a good thing. And she's like, no. Okay, fine. Is she pregnant? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh. I'm like, you know, you're the seventh person who's had a word about this. And she's like, oh. She said, it must be God then. I'm like, well, obviously it's God. Because to be honest, after like 3 years of trying, we were kind of, it was at that point, it's almost true where they said, like, once you give up and you kind of die to the things, God then just lets it happen. So, yeah, that's our testimony.
So thank you guys all, and all the praises to God because he made it happen. Amen.
Isn't God amazing? Blessings on you. Man, is that ever awesome? You guys are going to make great parents. Man. So we've been blessed with an amazing preacher this morning, despite what Peter earlier said. Jay, why don't you come up? We want to bless you as one of our pastors. And did you see the nice, cute little picture in the offering or the bulletin this morning? I think that picture is great of you. You just look like you're dressed up for the to kill. To kill. So, Father, we just lay hands on this amazing son. We just ask that you would give him supernatural wisdom, that you would hide him, Lord, in the shadow of your wings, so that you would speak 100% through his lips, through his heart. We thank you for his laughter, for his passion. Lord, we're thankful that he has stepped forward time and time again to serve us. Bless him, Lord. Bless his family. In your awesome name we pray. Amen.
Wow, thank you. Isn't that great what happened to Gwen and Mike? I tell you, at Rebecca's birthday party, I've been praying for these guys for quite a while for this. And I was like, oh, God, you got to make Gwen pregnant. You got to do it. I've had enough. I'm tired of praying. I was actually getting frustrated. And the very next week. And that's the way God is, really. You know, he waits until there's no chance or no hope, so that you're sure that it came from him. And he's like the man with the flowers behind his back, you know, ringing the doorbell with a big smile on his face. You know, and sometimes we think that he's late, but he's always right on time. Because he has perfect timing. You know? So I just want to give him honor and praise and glory. Because he's good. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to fall upon us and give us a revelation of Jesus. Because we're still doing the Save series here. But more than that, that being saved isn't just a nice word, a nice catchphrase. It's not a philosophy. It's not a philosophy. It's actually an experience. It's an experience. So I just want you to experience God. Experience the power of God through Jesus Christ, manifested by the Holy Spirit. Trinity, three in one. It's like a dollar bill doesn't work without the signature of the Queen. The watermark on the inside. Hey, and the denomination that's on it. It has three sides to it. God has three sides to him. And I just ask right now that you would experience that. There it comes. Just enjoy. More of the Holy Spirit. More of the blessing. Experience God for yourself and know that he is a reality that exists. Even if you don't believe in it. Just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean that it isn't true. Doesn't mean that it can't be discovered. And God is universal, just like gravity. Keeps us all on the floor. His mercy and his grace is what keeps us all going every day. The just and the unjust. And I just want to glorify Jesus. I want to glorify Jesus and lift him up and say, you are the King. And ask Holy Spirit just to reveal more of his mercy, more of his grace, more of his goodness. Thank you, Lord. I don't know. There's something going on with somebody's foot. Somebody has sore feet or a sore foot. And the Lord cares about your foot. The Lord cares about your foot. I don't know who you are. But whoever that's for, be blessed. Maybe the Lord will heal you, is healing your foot right now. Maybe the Lord is just comforting you in your sorrow. Healing's coming. Good. Bring it on, God. Whoever's got that sore foot, it's being healed right now in Jesus' name. All right, so we're doing a series. How many were here last week? Good. Okay. So last week, I started and ended with this story, right? Now, I'm a redeemed juvenile delinquent, so I know a little bit about jail, right? And so I started with the story about how, you know, you're in jail, and just because you're in jail, right, because I was saying how everybody knows that the law of God exists in their lives. even if you're the meanest, angriest person in jail. How do you know that? Because of the fact that when you have something done to you that you wouldn't like done to you, you cry out for justice. And so if you're in jail for something, for stealing, and someone comes along and steals your pudding, you want to cry out for justice. But because of human nature, what happens is we tend to like to take justice into our own hands. And we say, give me that pudding, and we spill the pudding on the floor, and then we start beating up the other person. And nobody gets the pudding, and we both get black eyes. Right? And you know what? That's exactly what being trapped by the law is. See, the Bible says in Romans 2, oh, I think it's 4 or 5. I looked it up too. In Romans 2, it says that we feel justified by the law, and yet we're condemned. And that's what happened a long time ago. Man decided that he wanted to be righteous judge. We decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we decided that we wanted to do God's job for him. And so when somebody takes the pudding, we lash back out. And we become justified in doing bad things and yet condemned. So that was last week. And I talked about how Jesus, God had to send Jesus to set us free. And how God could not love a man without Christ because of the fact that he is the righteous judge and he's judging what we're doing. And so he sent Jesus, much like we said, look over there. Well, you can't really see it that well, but there's a painting over there, a picture. He was a grand artist who was too big to fit inside his picture, so he drew a picture of himself inside his painting. That's what he did. And then he used that picture of himself to talk to us, and he called himself Emmanuel, or Savior, because the world is crying out to God for justice. Right? And what we did in turn was we crucified that Savior with our judgments. We crucified him. And we put him on the cross. And God turned what was our bad into, or rather, what was his bad into our good. And what that means is that God showed us through the cross what we were doing to God and what we were doing to each other, that we might not want to be the judge anymore, but that we would want to be sons instead. Does that make sense? And so the Bible says that through Jesus, God cries out, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red as scarlet, they can be whiter than wool, than snow. Yeah. He says, if you don't listen to me, you will be devoured with a sword, which is your own sword, because of your judgments. You know, but God can make a way where there is no way. He can break through. And he can cause us to love one another. Amen? So that was that last week. God literally pulling us out. So what happens is we're in the jail. And God comes along and he gives us both a pudding. It's okay. He says, don't judge one another. And we learn to become friends because he pays the price. He gives us his pudding when the other guy took ours. And then we learn to be good to other people and we get out on parole. Okay, so I got a new story for you this week. Amen? All right. This story was told to me in New Orleans by this old, old intercessor guy who was there to pray for us Bible college students who were going out during Mardi Gras to witness to a lot of drunken, messed up people. And what they used to do is they'd have two people praying for each one person who went out. And he was one of the two. And it was a faithful workshop. And between the workshops, people would be gathered around listening to this guy's stories about things that the Lord had done. I can't remember his name, but I sure remember his face, and I can sure remember hearing the voice of Jesus coming through him. And he told this story about there was a woman who was a beggar, and she was been on the street for years, and she owned a house, and she was constantly asking for dollars and cents or whatever, and she looked like a vagrant. And she was taking all the money and putting it in her attic for something like 30 years. And nobody knew until one day someone discovered that there was all this money in her attic. And then her long-lost son came home, came back. And he tried to put the lady in an old folks' home and saying that she was too insane to handle the amount of money that was in the attic. Because there was something like $250,000 sitting in this attic. $2,500,000. And she's still on the street like this. So there was a long court battle. But at the end, the woman won the battle. The woman won the battle. And she got to keep her money in her house. And the son took off again. Right? So, at the end of that, she went out on the street with these bags full of money. There were, apparently, there were $20 bills. And she's on the street trying to hand them out. You know what her biggest problem was? People wouldn't take the money. She was begging them to take it. They wouldn't take it. Yeah. Because the people didn't believe that the money was real. Yeah. So. It wasn't me that told the story, it was the intercessor guy. His point was, you know what his point was, the old intercessor guy? I should just leave you hanging till later. No, okay. God is merciful and patient and kind. So the point was that it's the same way with salvation, and it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. It's just too good to be true. And so a lot of people have problems receiving it. Right? So, being saved. And I really believe that it's a lot that way with salvation. Salvation for a lot of people, even Christians, just seems too good to be true. And so we have problems receiving that which Jesus died on a cross for. Our healing and our hope and our life. A new life that's redeemed inside of him. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. You see, God created us to be more than conquerors in him. Right? God created us to be, says that by his stripes we are healed, we're filled, and we're redeemed. Right? Now, first, last week we talked about how God can't love man without Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to talk about how man can't love God without Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And by you can't come to God any other way besides through Jesus Christ. You can't come because of God, because God will judge you for your sins. You can't come on your own because you judge God because you've sinned and its consequences are affecting you. Does that make sense? So you can't get to heaven by being a good person and doing things for God to make up for the bad things that you did. You can't achieve oneness with God by stripping yourself of all worldliness and becoming a monk and spending your time in second heaven meditating. It doesn't work that way. Because in the end, we're all still sinners. And God can't love us without Jesus, but at the same token, we can't love God without Jesus Christ, no matter how hard we try. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 5:18. I love this verse. It says, but with unveiled faces we behold as a mirror the glory of God, and being transformed into that image from glory to glory. Oh, sorry. 2 Corinthians. That's 3. Aha. 3:18. Wait. You know what? 3:18. Go to 5:18. It's okay. That's why we're in a campus church. You see, I'm learning along with you guys. Right? I'm learning. That's why I try to give everybody a chance to preach. Because I don't want to just raise up myself, but I want to raise up those around me. So I make it less about me and more about us. And I think that's what church should be about. Shouldn't be about the show. It shouldn't be about so much how good you are at what you're doing, but how good your heart is, you know, toward what you're doing. So, praise the Lord. So now all things of God are reconciled to us through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Right? So we can't love God without Jesus, and God can't love us without Jesus. So through Jesus, we find ourselves reconciled to God, the whole prison thing. Yeah, we become reconciled to God through Christ, and we learn that we're forgiven and that God loves us. And this is a good one. This is better. Luke 6:37, it talks about, so we learn to freely love others as we are freely given to. Does that make sense? Jesus said, freely you are given, you receive, freely you give. Yeah. And then Jesus teaches us the golden rule Does anybody know what the golden rule is? Do unto others as? No. Nope, that's not it. See, that's the law. The law is do unto others as you have them do unto you. And everybody thinks that that's the golden rule. Nope. The golden rule in Luke 15, 11 through 13 is love others as Jesus has loved you. And that's why you can't get into heaven on your own merit. Because people don't really love themselves very much. Because unfortunately, we're in a fallen state without Christ. And the world says that we're animals, the same as apes. It's crazy. We're like Ferraris or Lamborghinis. And the world comes along and says, nope, you're a Toyota Corolla. See, look, you have wheels. You have a steering wheel. You're just like that. Well, we might have common parts, but we're far up the scale. Does that make sense? The world says you're a Corolla when really you're a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. And so we condemn ourselves with our judgments and those around us. And we condemn God. God, why did you make me this way? Has anybody ever said that? God, you ever notice that the sin you hate the most in the person and somebody is usually the sin that you yourself are the most guilty of? And then you blame God. Right? But God says in Romans 1 that he actually wants us to see all that stuff and cry out to him for a savior, for mercy. And you see, that's how the devil does it. He actually uses the fallen state to defame the image of yourself, the image of those around you, and the image of God. And that's why the Bible says that outside of Christ, and we'll go back to Ephesians 3, men's eyes are blinded, but inside of Christ, the glory of the Lord is revealed, and we see the face of Jesus. See, I got ahead of myself back there. Does that make sense? How is the glory of the Lord revealed through Jesus? Well, it's easy. You see, God teaches men that they're Lamborghinis and not Toyota Corollas. Because the Bible says that so a man thinketh, so he is. And the world says you're an ape, you're an animal, you have to do bad to one another. I see it on TV all the time. But the Bible says that Jesus says that no, you were created to be conformed into the image of God, holy. Yeah. And so through Christ, we learn to love ourselves. And as the revelation of the glory of God, which we were created in, becomes more and more revealed through relationship. Yeah. That's okay. We love kids here. We love kids at Midtown. We're a family church. Ha. Ha. Ah, thank you, Lord. Okay, we've stopped talking about the badness of the devil, and we're going to start talking about the goodness of God. So, right? Lord, we just bless this little baby right now in Jesus' name. We just ask for peace. I thank you, God, that you bring us babies and that we have a nursery over there, that you provide for the nursery. I thank you, Lord, that this is a family church and we're free to have things happen interruptions and missed scripture verses. Ha. That there's lots of grace here for me and for everybody else. And because of that grace, we raised up an awesome worship team with John Patel's help that never played together and only played their instruments for 1 or 2 years. And all of a sudden, boom, God used it to raise people up and bless them and edify your body. Ha. And that we are renewed. We're renewed. Romans 12. We're renewed in our minds, being transformed into the image of you because of the revelation of your glory inside of us. It says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Do you believe that? You want me to tell you something? If you don't believe in Christ in you as the hope of glory, it's just like being a person on the street who can't receive the $20 or the $100 bills that the old lady's handing out. No. This is good. This means that because of the fall, sometimes people believe things like, I'm stupid. That was one that I had. I'm stupid. And then what would happen is I'd have an expectation of being stupid, so I would do stupid things to say that I'm stupid so I could reinforce that belief. I know. But the problem was I believed the devil. I believed the lie that the world was telling me, that I was the Toyota Corolla and not the Ferrari. And what happened was I'd do all these dumb things, and sure enough, my life was unhappy and I was getting what I deserved, and then I started judging other people for being stupid. You're stupid. You deserve what you get. Right? But when Jesus came, he said, you know what, Jay? You're not stupid. And I want you to read this and read that and read this and read this. And I'm gonna redeem that stupid thing on your life. And I overcame by the word of the Lord, or by the blood of the Lord, and the word of his testimony. And it became my testimony. Because now I say I'm not stupid. I'm actually pretty smart. Yeah. And there's lots of things in our lives, the labels that we put on ourselves. Some people say that they're stupid. Some people say that they can't receive the Holy Spirit. I heard that one recently. I couldn't receive the Holy Spirit. You know why? I know. Well, there's a lie. They went so many years without but saying to themselves, I can't receive. Can't receive the $20 from a lady either. Can't receive. And they couldn't. So then, you know what they had to do? They actually had to say, I'm sorry, Jesus. I know you didn't make any junk. Forgive me for the sin of believing that I wasn't good enough to receive your sacrifice of death on the cross. And I believe because you died that I am good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. I can receive. And she became transformed because of Christ inside of her, the Holy Spirit telling her the truth, or inside of somebody, the hope of glory. And all of a sudden, laughing away, shaking, feeling the Holy Spirit. And they were transformed. Because I'm going to tell you right now that a lot of people won't say this, but I'll say it because I like real. Probably. If you spend time with me, you'll know I like real. God can change your circumstances, but I believe that he doesn't so much. Because God's more interested in changing your heart. You know why? Because he knows that if your heart changes, your circumstances will change. Because it's not so much what happens to you, but your reaction to it which is causing you to receive the things that you're receiving in life. They say, if you don't want to receive the same things, stop doing the same things that you're doing. And so God actually, through the renewing of your mind, becomes Christ in you. That's why the truth, he came to give us the truth, to tell us the truth, and the truth sets us free. Because we receive for free, freely we give in and freely we receive. And there's this joy and this peace that comes. And instead of judging one another, we start loving ourselves. And once we start to really like love ourselves in Christ, then we can love others. And so the first and second commandment aren't hard anymore. You know what the Bible says? This one's been blowing my mind for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's pretty cool. I do this thing where I say to God, God, I've been doing it for about a month or two now. I've been saying to God, God, I want to swallow the dove, feathers and all. God, I want to swallow the dove. And I've been just like, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just fill me right here, right now. And every time I do that, he fills me instantly. Sometimes I get speaking in tongues or I'll break out in laughter and I'll get these crazy revelations. Look at this. John 5. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. He who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world? Who is he? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I know. I was like, I asked the Lord to fill me with the dove, and then I started quoting the scripture verses and jumping up and down and getting really excited. And I was like, God, they're not going to get this. I didn't get it for years. But then I wrote this little thing out, and I thought, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're able to receive from God redemption. And redemption is trading your ashes for beauty, your shame, your cloak of shame for a cloak of praise. Right? And you stop believing whatever it is that the devil says about you. You're fat, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. And you start believing whatever it is that God says about you. You're healed, you're filled, you're set free, you're wanted, you're loved, you're forgiven. A lot of people have problems with being forgiven, even Christians. Hear it all the time. And you start walking in that. And then your circumstances change and you begin to overcome the world, because you're not so much overcoming the devil, but his lies about you and about the world around you. And so you stop judging the world or the church or being part of the problem, justified by the bad thing that's done to you, so you're a hurt person hurting other people, and then being condemned, and you start becoming part of the solution, which is, instead of judging, you start pitching in and learning to love and help the way that Jesus did. And then instead of reaping and sowing death, you start reaping and sowing life. And God just starts dropping in truth after truth after truth after truth after truth. And you become transformed, and your world around you becomes transformed. And this is the miracle of being saved. The miracle of being saved is the fact that it's many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles. It's like trading a credit card that's a penny, which is your life, and, or rather taking a penny and trading it for a credit card with infinite dollars on it, or $1 billion. Yeah. Saved is good. And it's not just a cliche. And it's not just a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. And you will go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, through the renewing of your mind, through relationship with Christ Jesus. And He becomes your way, your truth, and your life. And you are able to love God through Christ, where you couldn't before because you were condemned by all the stuff that you believed about yourself and about others. I'm ugly, I'm bad, I'm this, I'm that. He's this, He's that. I see it in Him and I see it in me. We can't possibly have been created because we're too imperfect. We must be just apes and animals. No, you're not. You're created with a purpose in Christ. And that purpose is to be loved and love others. And I'm telling you now, you can be the biggest CEO and make all the money in the world, and you still won't be happy. You'll still be in counseling, marriage counseling or some other kind of counseling, wondering what's wrong. Because there'll be this hole in your heart. You'll feel like you're not actually connecting. That's the biggest complaint the world has, is that they feel isolated and they feel like they can't connect with anybody. Because they can't connect with God and they can't connect with themselves without Jesus Christ. Saved is a wonderful thing. Salvation is the biggest miracle of all miracles. It really is. And you should thank God for it every day. And when you do thank God for it, instead of being in pride and sin, or being in pride or being in sin, you can walk on the road of praise, glorifying God and lifting up others. Because God doesn't want you just to receive just for yourself, but He wants you to be an example to those around you of what He can do so that other people can get saved. And Christ really will be, to answer your question, in you, the hope of glory of those around you. You get it? Is there anybody in here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who's not accepted them inside of their heart? If there isn't, then all right. But if there is, you talk to God right now. You say, I want in because I feel disconnected from myself and I feel disconnected from those around me. And there isn't nothing in this world except for you that can make that connection. There isn't. They're trying and failing really miserably. Some people even try religion. They'll nail themselves to crosses. But until Jesus becomes inside of their heart, the hope of glory through relationship. Remember I said at the beginning, it's a verb. And He starts to tell you who you are in Him. And you begin to walk out your purpose, the reason why you were created on this earth. You'll never be happy. In fact, the sword, your own sword, will be devouring you. And that's why it says, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, it can be whiter than wool. Take that step into the supernatural. and invite Jesus into your heart and into your life. And it won't be just a cliche, I promise you. In the same way a Ouija board can be a step into the supernatural, Jesus is a step into the supernatural. The only difference is that one, you're stepping into hell, and the other one, you're stepping into heaven. And we all know the difference between heaven and hell. So step into heaven and don't step in hell. And if you have stepped into hell, step out and step into heaven. Amen. So, now, if there are those of us who are Christians, see, my problem this week, I taught in cell that I've been going to do some Christian counseling. So I was like, God, I keep getting the same results in my heart, and I'm getting so mad. And the Lord told me, he said, okay, I want you to go get some counseling. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And the key was, I said, God, I'm sick of doing the same things over and over again, getting the same result. And I know that it's not you, it's me. I know that it's not you, it's me. Because you're perfect God, and I'm imperfect man. So there must be something that I'm missing. Because I don't feel like I'm walking in the fullness of the victory that you died on a cross for me to receive. And I really, really want to. And I really, really want to commit to you renewing my mind so that I can receive that $100 bill that the woman's handing out. And that woman, believe it or not, in the story, I believe is representative of the Holy Spirit. He comes on a down low. He comes as a gentleman. He usually comes with a test. And he's got something for you. And it's usually a promise from God that your situation is going to change if you step out in faith and receive him. And there's lots of times where we just fail the test. We just believe that it's too good to be true. And we lean on our own understanding. And he stays there and he follows us and begs us to take it. But we don't. And my prayer these last few weeks has been, God, whatever is wrong with me, whatever ungodly beliefs I have that are holding me back from receiving, that are holding me back from loving you, from being, that make me frustrated with people, that make me frustrated with myself, and make me frustrated with God, destroy the barrier, God. I'm willing to do the work. Because the reward is out of this world. Amen. So just stand up. Come on. Yeah. I want you to think of one lie right now that the enemy's been using in your life to make your life miserable. It could be, I'm unhappy. It could be, I don't have the financial breakthrough. It could be, I can't forgive this person. It could be, I can't receive the Holy Spirit. It could be, I did something wrong and God's never going to forgive me. It could be, I heard the word about my foot, but it's still hurting. And right now, as a church, we're just going to commit to being saved, the verb, not the noun, to the process. And we're going to agree that Jesus is our hope, that he is our answer to every question and every problem that we have. And if there's any place inside of our lives where we just have been mad at God, we're going to forgive him. We're going to say, God, I release you. And I'm sorry that I believe that lie of the enemy that you could not break through for me. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to stop judging you and judging myself and judging those around me. And I choose to let go. Let go of that thing and give it to you because you're bigger than I am. And I know that you can carry it, God. You can carry the weight. And I ask, Lord, for a promise. And if you've given me a promise today, maybe you promised that you give me the willpower or divine strategy to lose weight. Maybe you promised that you would heal my foot or my back. Somebody's got a hurting back in here. All right, God, get the back. Ha. Hey. And I agree, Lord, to let you be the hope of glory that is inside of my heart. Hey. I agree to let you be the hope of glory, and I'm just going to let that light shine. And I'm going to testify to somebody this week about the promise of God. Because the Bible says that if we acknowledge Him on earth, He acknowledges us in heaven. And all of His promises are yes and amen. That means that the devil is the persecution, and Jesus, He's the defense, and God is the judge, and you're the witness. And right now we choose to side with the word of the Lord. And be filled with the Holy Spirit, who is our hope of glory in Christ. So we're just going to sing this song and worship Him and thank Him and have a great week, and I'll see you next week, Midtown. While the worship team's setting up, we'll just do some worship without song. Ready? Holy Spirit, come. Magnify your presence. I thank you, God, that we could worship you on a boat. That we could worship you in the middle of the jungle. Because it's you that reveals the face of Christ to us. Increase, God. Fill our hearts.